Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy themselves your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that's right. This is a special bonus episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, and we are going to be bringing you a October tradition, October surprise. Here it is. We are going to be talking Leprechaun 3, and appropriately, a man who hosts not one, not two, but three podcasts, and also has a pot of gold because he has plenty of money. Here is Akiva Whitaker.
What an intro. Is this a canonical episode?
I think this is a supplemental material.
Is it like 104.5? Is it a bonus episode?
Yeah, bonus episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I did run this by Aisha to make sure it's okay. We want to talk about Leprechaun because it's a tradition. We talk about Leprechaun 1 in 2018, Leprechaun 2 in 2019. And we want to keep this going. I think there's three more of them after this. So, you know, it's nice to keep the traditions going, especially in a year like this where a lot of people's traditions are going by the wayside.
I think we're
going
to keep going until Leprechaun gets canceled.
Well, I think there's some cancelable moments within the first 2 minutes of this movie. listen, after this, Leprechaun 4 is in space. Leprechaun 5 is, I think, in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 6 is in the hood, too, or back in the hood or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think we're going to do three more.
Three more. Wow. Then we'll have to go 6 years of the podcast. We would go longer than the Seinfeld post-show recap.
Even if we don't go 6 years, we have to come back together to finish the Leprechaun movies.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, wow. This is 3 years going. It was in October of 2018 that we covered the movie that launched it all, Leprechaun 1, starring Jennifer Aniston. And then it was last year, in October of 2019, we covered Leprechaun 2. Akiva, do you recall the plot of Leprechaun 2?
You know, I had like a mental note to look up the plot to see like where we left off, but also it doesn't really work like that in the Leprechaun movie, like other than Leprechaun himself.
Yes.
There's no sort of continuity.
Yeah, the Leprechaun movies are kind of an anthology series. Mm-hmm. The Leprechaun is back. I don't know if the Leprechaun himself has any recollection of the events of the other Leprechaun movies, but the Leprechaun just shows up, same Warwick Davis, same character, and even the mythology, the canon is different. Of there are different things that sort of bother him from film to film. He has different powers, and it seems like that he bounces around through time, the Leprechaun. But this series, Leprechaun 3, I have to say that I believe this was my favorite of the Leprechaun trilogy so far.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say this movie. I mean, if someone were to do a Leprechaun binge, let's say, you know, Halloween weekend or something, it is shocking the quality improvement. I know this is a straight to DVD movie, whereas the first two were not even DVDs yet. It's 1995. It's straight to video, where the first two movies are theatrical releases. This is a billion times better than the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, I was engrossed. I was invested in the characters in this movie, Rob.
Yeah, I think that they nailed the tone here by Leprechaun 3, where the first movie, I think that they tried to be kind of serious with it, and it was like so comically bad. I think in Leprechaun 2 that there were some times when they were sort of like, oh, okay, this is kind of campy. And then in Leprechaun 3, they've gone all in.
Yeah, Leprechaun had, so I was reading up about it. Leprechaun 1 had some problems where they, like, last minute decided to make it an R-rated movie. So they, like, if you remember, there was, like, a vicious killing of that cop mm-hmm. that, you know, I think was like maybe put in basically at the very end. And then two, the plot was just kind of stupid. Whereas here, yeah, they nailed the tone. The director, Brian Trenchard-Smith or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian Trenchard-Smith. I think he nails it. Warwick Davis, the Leprechaun himself, says that this is his favorite of the movies. He agrees that Brian Trenchard-Smith nailed the tone of the movie and got, you know, and he said it was a very small budget movie because it's straight to video. And he nailed it. And good news, he directed Leprechaun 4 in Space also. So mm-hmm. I'm excited for that.
Leprechaun 2. I really, this is odd that Leprechaun 3 even got made, because Leprechaun 2 had a budget of, I'm not sure how much money it cost to make it, but it ended up grossing $2.3 million at the box office and mm-hmm. was critically panned upon its release. In Leprechaun 2, that took place in Los Angeles. If you recall, last year around this time, we talked about Leprechaun 2 and then also the John Travolta terrible movie around this mm-hmm. time. They were both yes. set around living in Hollywood and the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And mm-hmm. yes. that was part of the subtext of Leprechaun 2, that they were doing scary tours around Hollywood. And the Leprechaun ended up there for one reason or another. He had like a tree in the graveyard that was like his secret lair. And then he brought the kid and the girl to go there. There was one part towards the end of it where Jack Klompas ended up catching the Leprechaun's gold. And mm-hmm. He made a wish. He knew that you could make a wish if you had the Leprechaun's gold. And he wished for more gold. And then the Leprechaun put it all in his stomach and made it explode. And I really feel like from that one plot point of, oh, you could make wishes with the Leprechaun gold, I think that that's where a lot of the metaphorical gold of Leprechaun 3 comes from. This idea, this subplot.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It works here. You're right. It was not really in the canon of the first one, right? Mm-hmm. He did invent some new canon. Like, there's a button involved with the, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but there's a few canonical things that, yeah, the amulet, that can sort of stop him. The Leprechaun rules are are made a little more clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's up against more, like, Leprechaun mostly, like, demolishes people in the first two movies. And he, at least in the third movie, is up against sort of stronger competition.
Yeah. Akiva, how many pages of notes do you think I have for Leprechaun 3?
I mean, if you're asking, I'm going to say it's a lot. I have like 35 different notes.
35 notes. How many notes do you have? So you have 35 scenes of
35
Leprechaun.
Lines or thoughts, yes.
Let me see. That I have in front of me now, this is, I have... 7 pages of
wow.
notes. I go through.
All right, this could be a 6-hour podcast.
67
everyone.
Scenes in the Leprechaun film.
Oh my God. Yeah, see, I didn't do every scene because I figured it's Leprechaun 3. Like, we're not going to break it down like it's some Talmudic discussion. But I listen, I watched it today. I like know I'm very familiar with this movie and I do have takes.
Let me just go grab those notes off said printer. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Can I entertain the listeners while you're gone, or are you going to cut
on.
This out?
I'm walking away.
I'm going to, hopefully this doesn't get cut out. I do this on like 32 fans and NGOG, but I think this is probably going to get cut. But let me just say that I liked the musical last week. It was really good. Fun fact, we recorded that like 1 hour ago. So this is back to back, our first ever back to back RENAP recording. We should do like 6 days in a row and then we could take like 6 weeks off and then we could really discuss like what we've been missing. It would be a little tricky with the wheel. But I think we could make it. We should do it at least once where we just record like six. Well, RENAP is going daily also after Big Brother. So I don't know how we do six. And like we just do 5 in a day and that's the whole week. I'm not sure. But this was great. People are going to like this. Rob, I was talking to the audience the whole time. You don't have to cut it out.
Okay, great. I just want to add a couple of other notes before we go full on with the Leprechaun recap. We are recording this. We just got done listening to RENAP, the musical. I'm sure the response was amazing, but we don't actually, we haven't seen the actual response yet at the time.
Yeah, I just told the audience that. This is a rerun for them. They just heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also that we are, there was something else I was going to say about this, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway. So,
yeah, our first ever double record, though.
Yeah. All right. So this is going to be an in-between episode in between this and what's coming up next on the wheel, which is going to be to tell the truth, okay?
The Halloween episode with a Halloween themed mailbag.
Yes. All right. You covered all this while I was gone?
Some of it. Some of it was covered.
All right.
Yeah. You mentioned this movie being canceled, but really the first scene is the most offensive, sort of like cancelable in the entire flick.
Yeah. The leprechaun is out of control. A lot of the beginning of the movie starts with, this movie is set completely in Las Vegas. And
that should be in the title, right? It should be like Loose in Las Vegas or something. It's not.
It's not in the title?
I think it's just called Leprechaun 3, the film.
Yeah, Leprechaun 3, yeah. Lucky in Vegas? I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, something like that. Unlucky in Vegas?
Yeah. Anyway, so we start things off, and maybe we could have used like a Leprechaun 2.5. Maybe there was like a web series that could have explored like how this man who walks in, he looks like he's really seen better days. This guy who comes into the pawn shop sells a leprechaun statue like you might have on your lawn, and it's the leprechaun and he's wearing an amulet and he needs gas money to get out of Vegas, and he sells it to the pawn shop owner for $20.
Not a great deal, first of all.
Not a great deal, but he's like, joke's on you, pawn shop owner, because that you just had the lep in your possession. Do we call him Lep?
We always call him Lep. That's his canonical name on this podcast.
I call him Lep a lot in my notes. And he says,
that's what we've always called him.
Don't touch the medallion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a lot of instruction. Like, for $20, I feel like it's not worth it at that point.
Oh, by the way, I ended up, I rented this on Amazon Prime. It was $1.99 that I'm sure that there are some links which you could get on, take you God knows where and open whatever pop-up windows. I'm not sure if there's another place where you could stream it easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, that's what I did. I went on Amazon Prime. It was $1.99, and I got my money's worth.
Yeah, no, for sure. Sometimes I would be upset with spending, but $2 for this movie would have been worth it.
Also, no mailbag coming up in this episode either. This is a straight Lep rewatch. Just want to set the expectations.
And also, if you heard my joke last week about my son saying he could watch a scary movie because he's already seen 101 Dalmatians, it was about this movie.
Yeah.
He thought he could watch Leprechaun 3.
So I was watching, I sent my, one of my kids was asleep, and I sent my other son downstairs, but then he could hear the leprechaun, and then he would say like, Dad, did the leprechaun just kill somebody? He's like, he's trying to. He's like, was
dead
it the
body reported, baby?
Yeah. Is the leprechaun the main character? I'm like, no.
That is a good question. That's sort of a good question in this movie.
Not
is
really.
The leprechaun? Because sometimes he is, and I think he's not here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the leprechaun is like encased in carbonite here, wearing the medallion, and the pawn shop owner, he instantly rips the medallion off, puts it on his shirt. And that is going to ultimately bring Lep back to life. And Lep is shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, Lep always gets his first kill, I think, in the first scene. Although it takes him a while. Yeah. Like, Lep's skills are slipping, I think, in this movie. Because sometimes, like, also, his powers where he can, like, throw something with just, you know, with his hand, but not actually throwing it, just, like, use his hand to
magic.
Move something.
He
like
can use the force.
With magic, he really uses that very sparingly, because there's a lot of times he could kill someone with it and he chooses not to, basically.
Also, that they do a lot of like cutting back and forth between things, like even like action sequences in this movie, that I feel like that maybe they got like a note of like there are stretches that are boring because there's too much time that goes without a killing. So like the leprechaun is fighting with the pawn star guy over the course of like 30 minutes of this film, interspersed with other conversations that are happening in the movie.
Yeah,
and this goes on the whole film.
Yes, there are three subplots happening in the first 30 minutes. The leprechaun guy going after Gupta, the pawn shop owner.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time where we're going to meet our real, you know, protagonist, Scott, who is going to help out the damsel in distress, Tammy, whose car broke down in the middle of Vegas. By the way, she just leaves it like on the highway, essentially.
I think they say that the car, her car has no engine.
Yeah, her car. Someone stole her car's engine. I couldn't tell if he was joking or not. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so Scott and Tammy, but then they so they go to Tammy's. He drives her to Tammy's casino where she works. But then they split up for a lot of the beginning of the movie, where she is a magician's assistant.
Yes.
And he is an underage gambler.
Yes.
So that those three storylines are going on. It's almost like a sitcom or you know, maybe like a network drama. Maybe that's why we like
this so much, because this is basically like a sitcom horror movie.
Yeah, that's what it was. We're really just bouncing back and forth between the three storylines. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it merges to two and one. You know, Gupta's gone a half hour in.
Yeah.
But it takes Leprechaun like an obscene amount of time to kill this one dude.
Yeah. Okay. So Lep is going to get into some fisticuffs here with Gupta. And he is going to just start trying to attack him. He ends up biting his ear off. Now, timing-wise, is this a nod to Tyson Holyfield?
First thing I Googled, no. This is a 95 movie and 96 of the Tyson Holyfield fight, but I did think the same thing.
So, did you think that Lep maybe got in Tyson's head?
I think, obviously, Mike Tyson was inspired. It's a Vegas movie. Tyson is the most famous Vegas guy. I think Tyson was inspired by Leprechaun 3 to bite Holyfield's ear. No question.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And then that he makes an offensive remark about what the shop owner tastes like based on
almost certainly offensive then.
Yes.
We're not just judging it by 2020 standards.
Yes. Yes. Also, that Lep is going to bite Gupta's toe off. Gupta takes it pretty well.
You mean as far as like if your toe was bitten off, would you feel...
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's pretty chill about it. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. And in the fisticuffs that Lep is going to, you know, famously has his pot of gold, he will lose one of his gold coins and Gupta will find it.
This doesn't really have a system for keeping them. They're not really in some sort of like coin sleeve, you know? Yeah. They're just out in the pot always, which is very makes it very easy to lose one.
Akiva, the leprechaun famously has 100 gold coins, but when I look at his bucket of coins, just eyeballing it, like I can see like, you know, 15, 20, like right on the top. I feel like I think his bucket has more than 100 coins.
Okay, so it's a good question. I think just the pot ends like relatively early is the answer.
Oh, so
like it doesn't go that deep, you know?
Oh, so you feel like this is like one of those like packaging things where the bottom of the pot sticks up really
high. It's like
a
bag of chips.
Smart.
Yeah, I had the same thought. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Because
it looks like there's 500 coins in there, but it can't be.
He should get a bigger cauldron because he's always like spilling them out.
Or, I mean, maybe he needs a smaller cauldron.
Perhaps.
You know, because he doesn't need, I don't know. Yeah, but this is, the cauldron's not working out for him. I think in Leprechaun 4, I hope he's sort of advanced to having maybe a purse that has a zipper or something, like something to really keep the coins locked up in that they don't just constantly get stolen or fall out.
Maybe he could have our spooky movie cauldron after we get through October.
He can have it.
Yeah. Also, then Gupta, he is able to fend off Leprechaun with the amulet. And he realizes like, okay, Leprechaun does not like this.
No, he's anti-amulet. Do we have any amulet stuff from the first two movies, or is it the first we're seeing of the amulet?
No, this is the first appearance of the amulet. No backstory as to where the amulet comes from. And please correct us if we missed the amulet in Leprechaun 1 or 2. Now, Gupta also had a spot. I'm looking at his IMDb that he played the character Father in the Puerto Rican Day Parade from Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So we have to go back and look for him.
A lot of Seinfeld connections in Leprechaun.
Yes.
But this might be the only one in this
Working one. From the same acting pool. Okay.
Sure. Right. No question.
So we can start to, you know, yada yada a little bit through our hitchhiking storyline where Scott meets Tammy. I think that Scott is an odd choice for the lead of this film.
Yeah. So Scott, I agree. He's played by... what's
John
his name?
John Gattins.
John Gattins, and he
Gattins.
John. Oh, I see Gattins on Wikipedia.
Okay, sorry, my bad. I added it. I like John Gattins better.
Yeah, I think we should maybe we'll pitch that to him. But John Gattins slash Gattins, has become a film writer. He wrote a lot of sports movies, Summer Catch, Hardball, Coach Carter, and was nominated for an Oscar for writing Flight, the Denzel Washington movie.
He's currently working on Aladdin 2.
Aladdin 2, Power Rangers.
I guess another movie Kong Skull centered Island. Around wishes. Maybe he's going to go back and...
That's his specialty.
His backstory.
But yeah, he's a legit, you know, big-time Hollywood screenwriter. The other woman in the movie, Lee Armstrong, who plays Tammy.
Okay.
I thought she was great. Like, I thought she's really good, and she quits Hollywood after this movie.
Yeah.
I thought she was, like, very good. She doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, nothing.
Yeah.
John Gadden should have quit acting, and Lee should have kept going.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Maybe this was a bad experience working with Lep here in Leprechaun 3. But yeah, she is...
Wouldn't shock me, mid-90s in Vegas, like, this set could have been a big mess, low budget. Mm-hmm. But, I thought she was like almost too good.
She has a tough go of it here in the film, but we'll talk more about that. So Tammy, she works at the casino, which is called the Lucky Irishman, very appropriate for Leprechaun. And she tells Scott about her backstory. And this the movie really was very illuminating to me because I didn't know this. She is a magician's assistant. Which, you know, I've always heard the term, oh, magician's assistant. Okay. But this movie really sets up this sort of like mentorship idea in the magician's guild of, I guess you start as a magician's assistant and then ultimately it's like a trade that you eventually become a magician I did not know that that was how magician's assistant works.
So she's more like the magician's apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She talks about how she's a magician's assistant. She's working her way up to magician, but she's really stuck as magician's assistant right now.
Yeah, and the manager of the hotel, we don't really learn his title, but he's the main character in the movie, I assume. Mitch. The I don't know what his exact title is, but the manager of the casino.
He's like the
hotel,
pit boss.
Yeah, but she calls him her boss. He tells her openly in front of the magician that she is the star. So
she's
I'm not sure
the
why
star,
they haven't
right.
made her the magician yet. Maybe she just doesn't know enough tricks. I don't know how the guy she's the assistant to ever got the job because he's the world. Like, we don't see him do any magic. He's completely inept.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she's the star. He's like the creepy old boss.
Yeah. But he believes in her, which is weird. The Mitch character, we'll talk about him later, but I feel like that was sort of a weird dynamic. But they really set up this later on in the film between Tammy, the magician's assistant, and the ultimate magician, Fazio, you know, she's...
Great magician name.
Yes. She is like the hot up-and-coming rookie, and Fazio is blocking her way to stardom if she only had a chance.
Yeah, he's Adrian Gonzalez on the Mets last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is sort of like a playmakers dynamic from the short-lived ESPN series where there was like the...
No, you don't even have to explain it. Everyone gets the reference.
Okay. Just checking.
We know what you're talking about. I think my dad and you and Mike Greenberg and Mike watch Playmaker.
Okay. Anyway, so that Scott picks up Tammy. He's going to drop her off at her hotel. He is actually, Akiva, this is a really very autobiographical that he's on his way to Hollywood to be a screenwriter. This is like what really happened to John Gattins.
Yes, absolutely. She also says like she could lose her license for bringing him into the casino. I didn't know magicians have licenses or magicians' assistants have licenses in the guild.
Okay. Meanwhile, we go back to Gupta. And Gupta, I guess, Akiva, did you have a early 90s computer that came with a bunch of CD-ROM encyclopedias?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So does Gupta, and he happens to have a CD-ROM that contains a disc called Legends and Folklore, which has a lot of information about leprechaun culture.
It seemed, I mean, not this particular one, but like before the internet, this was all you could watch. Like, I would go to my grandfather's house, my dad would work there, and I would just have to sit and watch, like, Here's like Encyclopedia Britannica CD-ROM, and you just turn it on and like almost nothing worked, and it was so lame. Mm-hmm. But that's, there'll be like four clips from a movie.
This,
it was terrible.
Is very helpful. We find out things that if you find a leprechaun's gold, you can make a wish. Leprechauns love potatoes. There can never be two leprechauns. They will hate each other. All sorts of useful exposition is just flowing out of this CD-ROM.
Yeah, we see it a lot during the movie. I guess, like, they probably spent half the budget making the CD-ROM also.
Yes, okay. So, Lep has hidden his pot of gold. Gupta is going to go looking for him. And there's a lot of, lurking around. Like, Leprechaun is hiding. Gupta's looking for him. They go back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah, Leprechaun is also insanely good at finding people. I'm not sure if we know how that is, but he always can find whoever he's looking
for.
Yes,
and so it's a real war of attrition between Lep and Gupta. Gupta's going to get him a couple times with the amulets. Gupta is really like licking his wounds. At one point, he's just like nursing a whiskey, and then Leprechaun comes in and is basically like, "All right, let me warm up Gupta with a limerick." Lots of limericks in this film. Gupta actually thinks that this one is pretty funny.
There was an old man of Madras whose balls were made of fine brass. So in stormy weather, they both clanged together and sparks flew out of his ass.
Yeah, Gupta's like, good one. That's
pretty. Yeah, I know you're trying to kill me, but that's a pretty good line. I like the limericks, honestly.
Yeah. Should we have limericks on the wheel or too dangerous?
Yeah, I don't know. The Lep could come out and smack. He's not a fan of us at this point. Lep, I would be afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So meanwhile, that as Gupta, you know, his back and forth with Lep, Scott is going to drop off Tammy at the Lucky Irishman. Scott is not 21 years old, but as you mentioned, Tammy will sneak him into the casino. And boy, this is like Scott's mind is blown. He's never seen anything as amazing as a Vegas casino. And so Tammy says, one rule, you're not 21. No gambling. Got it? Got it. Whatever you do, no gambling.
Okay, so you said he's a weird casting choice. He doesn't look like a college freshman at all.
No.
He is 11 years, he's in his late 20s when this movie is filmed. He's about 27 when it comes out. He is 11 years younger than Loretta, whose sole shtick in the movie is that she's way too washed up to be like a blackjack dealer in the movie. Casino.
The actor?
He's 27. So Loretta's 38.
I was going to say, like, he's supposed to, like, that. He's a weird casting choice. And also, he does not seem like he's 19 years old.
No, he's not 19. I don't think he's terrible, but he's definitely not the right casting choice. Mm-hmm. But he's literally 11 years younger than as a college freshman than the person who is playing someone 40 years older than him.
Yeah. All right. So Scott is loving everything that he sees, that there's some weird customers at his casino. There's a priest who is playing craps with some scantily clad women. I didn't really get what was going on there.
I thought that guy would become a character, but we never see him again.
Nope. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on. But he's wandering around the casino. We're also introduced to the great Fazio, who is working on a new magic act, and another woman who works at the casino, who I guess is Fazio's squeeze. This is Loretta. Loretta has a lot of jobs at the casino.
Well, she is like a blackjack dealer, or, you know, she's some sort of table dealer.
Dealer, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, roulette. Sorry.
Roulette spinner. Yeah,
but then she just like, what are other jobs? I mean, she takes smoking breaks in the magic room.
Yeah.
This is a really low rent casino also. It needs to be said.
Right.
This is like the worst casino.
Work,
if you find yourself here, It's bad news. Like, things have gone very wrong.
Yeah,
for
I feel
you
like the Lucky
here.
Irishman is off the strip.
This is locals only.
Yeah, Akiva, have you ever been to Vegas?
No, I have not.
Okay. Any desire to go to Vegas?
I do. Although maybe a little less so now that you could sports gamble in Jersey or anywhere. But I would love to go at some point. Yeah. But it hasn't happened.
What's the kosher food scene in Vegas?
I don't think it's terrible. I think there are some kosher restaurants there.
Are there specific casinos you think that really probably have a bunch of stuff, or you think that maybe every casino has?
You have to go. You have to like drive like 15 minutes off the strip to get to the restaurants, but there is a bunch.
Oh, you would feel.
Who knows if any restaurants will exist after this? But pre this whole thing,
Bet if I was going to look up any of these resorts, I bet they all like have like one spot.
No, it's very hard to maintain a kosher restaurant.
Mm, okay.
It's harder than you think. It's expensive. It's not open on Friday nights or Saturdays. It's not, you're not getting a ton of customers who are there who don't keep kosher unless it's really, really good. So it's harder than you think.
Okay.
There may be a place where you could like order food, but I don't think there's any restaurants in a single Vegas.
All right. Well, Scott is so blown away by this whole scene here at the casino. And luckily, he has a letter from his parents. Keith, do you remember what the letter said from his parents?
Yeah. Here's your money for tuition and board, for the whole school year is $23,000.
Yeah. It's like a handwritten note.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how it usually works. If your parents are paying your bills, they're probably paying it right to the college. You don't hand the college a check. By the way, can I have like some of this back to pay my rent? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that he has this $23,000 check and he's going to go, cash it at the, the courtesy desk. Boom. Here's 20. Can I get my tuition and $23,000 in chips?
I would be nervous to carry around like all the money I had in casino chips. Yeah. Just,
I think I would ask like, hey, could I get, $22,800 back in cash and then $200 in chips?
I mean, just a terrible decision. And he doesn't seem like, other than this, he's a terrible decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a pretty head on his shoulders guy. Also, like, driving across the country to college. Do we know where he's going to college? Is he going to LA?
Yeah, he's going to LA.
So, like, where is he going from? We don't really know. But, like, really, parents? Like, that's how he's getting to college? He's driving cross country by himself as a college freshman?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Drive with him, mom and dad.
Some other minor subplot characters that Mitch is in some sort of financial distress, and there's a couple of like mob guys that are around, like trended that it never goes anywhere in terms of like Mitch being over leveraged that he owes money to these guys. But there is one point where the mob guys are having a conversation, and Mitch asks them, What do you guys want?
What do you want, Art?
What do I want? I want brown hair. I want health insurance for all Americans. I want the Mets to get this shit together.
Wow. In 1995, people wanted the Mets to get their act together. Now, Akiva, this character never got his hands on any of Lep's shillings to make a wish. Do you think, is that what happened? Is that how Steve Cohen ended up getting the Mets, that a Mets fan ended up finding one of Leprechaun's coins and said, boy, I wish the Mets would finally get their act together?
I think it was worse. I think he asked the Doubledays to sell the team to the Wilpons and like, oh, they got plenty of money. They have this guy who promises them like 20% earnings every year on their money. Got a little greedy there. I think one of the interesting things they do is a character like these goons, and like you said, it goes nowhere. They're just creating unlikable characters. So when Lep kills them, like you're rooting for Lep and not them.
They're just setting it up.
They're loathsome people.
Like, here are all the
everyone at the
people.
Casino minus our main people. Are just set,
they're back. Setting them up for Lep to come in and knock them all down. So, all right. Scott is going to sit down at the roulette table, and it's a crooked roulette table, as if, that Scott couldn't just lose all this money at roulette on his own, that it's also that they have to be, the casino is rigging the roulette game against him with some sort of a magnet.
It's really the world's worst casino. It's gross. Like, I hope there's no restaurants in there.
And
you'd
Scott's
for sure
like getting
get
pissed.
It.
He's like, well, I don't understand why this isn't working. I'm picking the good numbers. And the wheels just and Loretta, the roulette spinner, is like, oh, honey, just try your luck some more. Yeah, let's just keep trying.
She's the only neutral character
soon.
She's not really neutral, I guess, but she's like the least evil of the evil people. Like, she doesn't really want to cheat. It's just like mm-hmm. part of the corporate structure is that they have to cheat the customers.
Yeah. Her biggest character flaw is that she's very jealous of Tammy, who mm-hmm. is the beautiful magician's assistant, and she's very spiteful towards her because she's the fairest maiden in the Lucky Irishman casino. She would like to be the most lusted after person that is working at the casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and she does get her wish later, but, you know, more on that soon. Yes,
more of that to come. Anyway, that Scott loses all his money, and Loretta says, hey, that's a nice watch. Why don't you go to the pawn shop across the street? Okay, so Scott's like, all right, well, I guess I blew my $23,000. Might as well pawn my grandfather's watch to get some more money back. Anyway, and this is when things are really going to reach a boil of Lep versus the pawn shop owner, and ultimately Lep's going to murder Gupta. He wraps the phone cord around his neck too much while Gupta's trying to call the police.
Yeah, very old-fashioned murder. Can't really do that nowadays, but that's how Gupta goes.
I mean, through three Leprechaun movies, the police have been very ineffective with
trying to... I would say he picks cities where he knows the cops are inept. That's Lep's mm-hmm. move, I think.
Yeah, okay. So... we're going to ultimately get to where Scott is going to walk into the pawn shop wanting to pawn his watch, but he's going to find the dead body. Now, Kiev, I don't know about you. When you find a dead body, do you start moving it around?
I think you're supposed to not move it around. We learned this from CSI, right?
I thought you were saying that. Didn't we learn this from Among Us? Don't your kids know what to do?
Oh, that's true. You call a meeting right away.
You call a meeting.
And you say, wasn't me.
Wasn't
and then people
me.
Are like, that's sus. Why did you call the meeting? You keep walking in on the dead bodies.
Yeah. So anyway, that he's going to then pick up the phone and then start to call the police and say, hey, I found my dead body. Meanwhile, Lep is going to start attacking him.
Yes. Lep has a lot of failures in this movie. Like, Lep doesn't get our boy Scott here.
No. Scott is going to pick up the coin. And then I guess, does he overhear in the casino, if you have a coin, you can make a wish? But he wishes that he was on a hot streak back in the casino.
No, I think he sees it on the CD-ROM when he walks into the store. That's what happens.
Yeah. So he ends up picking up the coin, which I don't know how Lep missed it. It was right on the desk where mm-hmm. it popped out while he was strangling Gupta.
Yeah, you'd think he'd have some sort of gold coin radar because he can sense when someone has it, but here he missed it somehow.
Nope. Scott wishes he's back on a hot streak in the casino, and boom, he's there.
Yes. And I don't know how the wishes work. I feel like it works for... does it work for as long as you have the coin, is
sometimes.
What we're led to believe?
There's other times where it's sort of like Loretta, she makes a wish and then the coin is stolen from her and her wish doesn't go away. But there's other times where then it does wear off as soon as when Mitch makes his wish and then the coin gets taken from him and then it gets undone as soon as it's not... hard and fast on the rules.
Yeah, they didn't really they didn't make them clear. I don't know. Okay. Like, there's no DVD commentary of this movie. I'd love to watch it.
Yeah, or a CD-ROM explains it all. Okay,
that's true.
So Scott's back in the casino. He's on fire. He's putting his gold coin on top of his stack of chips, and every number he's coming up, boom, he's got it. And even though Loretta is trying to rig the thing, it's not working. Mitch, the pit boss, is like, hey, what are you doing over here? She's like, I'm trying to stop him. Nothing's working. And he's just ends up making $100,000 at the roulette table.
Yeah, I had a note. Can one hot streak bankrupt the whole casino?
It seems like
they're very worried about going out of business.
They're very worried. So they have to shut down the table. Mitch basically says, all right, break time. All right, we're going to give you a room. They don't want this whale to leave the casino. He is going to go cash out, gets his $100,000. He's now got a room at the casino. He's heading up to his room. He runs into Tammy. She's like, what are you doing? I told you not to gamble. He's like, look at all this money.
Yeah, this hotel, by the way, I think maybe you take the money, but you stay in a different hotel with your $100,000 that night.
Yeah. Okay. So Lep is now on a quest to find out where this kid went with his shilling. Lep is going to walk down the strip. Boy, Lep is loving Vegas.
It's not clear what Lep knew about Vegas before this, right?
How he got there, yeah.
How he got there. Well, he just like sort of morphs. But he doesn't seem to know much about it. When he meets an Elvis impersonator, he's really into it. And he says like, oh, I really like this town.
Yes.
It is Lep's kind of town.
Yeah. Lep basically like runs into like the honky tonk man on the way into the casino and has this run in with the Elvis impersonator.
Well, those shoes, they come in blue suede. I really like them, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's when Lep is saying the thank you very much. So he does a Elvis impersonation and probably the most iconic Lep gif that you can find of him playing the guitar, the air guitar. That comes right after that moment.
Lep rarely likes somebody. So it's sort of heartwarming to see Lep and Elvis having a moment here.
Not just killing people.
No, we want to humanize. And by the way, Lep only kills one person in the whole like first 60% of this movie.
Mm-hmm. So Lep makes his way into the Lucky Irishman. He runs into Fazio, who is doing some tricks and turns the tables on Fazio and somehow has a when Fazio is like a present to him, look what's in my hand. Lep makes it be a steaming pile of green leprechaun poop.
Yeah, gross.
it was very gross. So Scott is now in his room. Tammy said, whatever you do, don't open the door for anybody. But Scott can't help himself. He's going to order some room service. And so while he is going to be taking a shower, getting ready, Fazio and Loretta realize, hey, this kid, he's got all this money and he's got the gold coin. We need to break into his room and steal it all from him.
What a small hotel where, like, the pit boss is also the room service guy, basically, where it has access to know, like, who's ordering room service that minute.
Yeah.
He might be the only guest in the hotel, Rob, also.
He may well be. Lep seems to also have free reign of the casino. Lep is at the craps table, just playing craps. Nobody seems to give him a second look.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He ends up having a run-in with the mob guys, and he does like a spell on one of the mob guys, not the guy that wanted the Mets to get their act together, but he basically like, turns a guy into a slot machine, but it's not a fatality.
No, it's not a fatality. I think like for whatever reason, he doesn't appear out of place in the casino. Because as you said, people just think he has bad acne.
Yes. Now, I understand if it was like Halloween or something like that, but it just seems like if I saw like the 3-foot leprechaun walking around the Vegas casino, I still think that that would be odd.
Yeah. Supposedly, Warwick Davis, who plays Lep, is out of costume in the casino at some point. I didn't catch him, but he's sitting at a slot machine.
I think that happened in the other movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Scott is upstairs taking a shower. Fazio breaks into the room, cannot find the money because that is very close to Scott while he is going to be showering, but he does find the gold coin. Scott walks out. They get into a fight. Fazio sucker punches Scott and gets away with the gold coin. He also does like some sort of like a magic trick, like that he like makes a smoke bomb appear, but also like somehow like hurts himself in the process. I don't really understand how Fazio's magic works.
Yeah, Fazio. I don't think Fazio understands how Fazio's magic works.
Right. But Lep can tell that the gold coin was nearby because he ends up getting into the room. He ends up coming in with the room service that Scott had ordered. And then he gets into another fight now with Scott and ends up biting Scott in the arm.
Do we know how Lep got the room service card? Did he have to kill someone to get it? Is he just taking calls? Did he get hired? Like, I don't
know. Unclear. That's unclear. Yeah. There's no dead body, but Scott ends up stabbing Lep in the head with a knife and like throwing him out the window. Lep falls like 5 or 6 stories down to the ground and ends up shaking it off.
Yeah, the old 5-story fall that doesn't really hurt. Lep doesn't ever really die, right? Because he dies at the end of like a lot of the movies and then he just comes back.
He always dies and he's always just back in the next movie.
Mm-hmm. Unexplained, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is basically we don't understand. Maybe there's multiple leprechauns. Maybe it's like a Spider-Verse of leprechaun. Unclear.
Yeah, well, I guess it doesn't have to be the same leprechaun. There just always needs to be exactly one or they hate each other. That's what we know.
Yes, because it seems like one thing this movie establishes is all leprechauns are exactly the same.
Yes, no question.
The same personality and the same interests. So Scott has this leprechaun bite, and this is something also that we did not explore in Leprechaun 1 or 2, that he has this bite, and I guess almost like being bitten by a zombie, that if you get bitten by a leprechaun, you start to turn into a leprechaun. Yes. Who knew?
We did not know. Yeah, you start to speak like a leprechaun. You like things a leprechaun likes, like potatoes. Yeah, it becomes your thing. You become sort of a mini leprechaun. You don't look like the leprechaun at first. Eventually, that starts to happen. But
it starts to. You start to turn into a leprechaun.
And maybe this was out of the range of our Scott
of
here.
Scott, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So things are going to get a little complicated here with the coin. Okay. So Loretta and Fazio, they made the deal that they were going to split the money that Scott won, that they were going to steal, but Loretta was going to get the coin. Fazio comes back with only the coin. Loretta says, I called it. That's my coin. And they argue about it, but ultimately Loretta keeps the coin. But somehow Mitch ends up, she's having an argument with Mitch and Loretta, and he ends up saying some unbecoming things to Loretta about her weight, which I did not think that the character that is Loretta seemed overweight in any way, but it gets mentioned a couple of times, and somehow Mitch ends up in possession of the coin during this discussion.
Yeah, Mitch is a monster. Mm-hmm. He gets the coin, and he immediately wishes for Tammy to fall for him.
So that it's a little bit complicated. I will say that, you know, it's unclear what happened prior to this movie, but that Tammy says basically, oh, you're calling me fat and look at you. And he's like, no way, I could have anybody I want. And then
Loretta
says
that.
Mitch says that he could have it. There's any, you know, he could have any woman that he wants.
Sure.
You know, and he talks about Tammy, that he has a crush on Tammy. And so that when he mentions that Tammy, oh yeah, he could get her if he wanted to. And Loretta says to him, yeah, you could have her. You wish. He's like, yeah, I wish I could have her. Like, but he ends up like he doesn't know that the coin can make a wish. He ends up sort of like saying in a round. He doesn't know what he's doing, but somehow holding the coin. Now he has wished that Tammy had the hots for him.
Had the hots. That's taking me back to 1995.
That's right where we are. Okay. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, boom, Tammy, that she is love struck for Mitch.
Yeah, she makes a beeline for him and says, let's go right here, babe.
Yeah. Now, this was a very odd, this whole thing, where I was like, oh, hold on. Is Tammy possessed by Lep? Because Tammy, who is now very thirsty, sorry, Jenny Autumn, for Mitch, she is very, like, it's very odd. She talks like a baby, but also she's very into like physical, like smacking Mitch around. Because
yeah,
that's,
it didn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, oh, maybe this is how that.
We did see Lep like into a lady in the second movie, right? I don't remember that was his shtick. Like he just hits people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right, but so basically, Tammy pulls Mitch into the elevator, says, "Hey, we gotta go back to your room right now." And Loretta puts it all together. That coin. Ah, that must be it. That's
pretty
what's
good
going
catch
on
by her. But yeah, she realizes that.
Yeah, she figures it all together. And basically, like Tammy is like, yeah, oh, I want you to, you know, she wants to slap him around because she likes it. She calls him that she likes loving tough and hard. And then he says, oh, you want me to do so? He's like starts throwing himself into the wall.
Yeah, like, he's like bashing his head into the wall. This is insane.
Yeah. I don't know, like, who wrote this?
Maybe the freakiest freak needs a recount.
Yeah. Anyway, so Mitch and Tammy, they go back to Mitch's. What would you say is the layout of Mitch's apartment?
Well, I believe it's his hotel room, right?
His hotel room.
He has like a room in the hotel, I think.
It's a wild room. Yeah.
It's like imagine the sleaziest room you could imagine. And that's what it looks like.
Okay. And Mitch and Tammy, you know, things are getting hot and heavy, and then so hot that Tammy says, first, I'm going to make you hot, and then I'm going to make you burn. I'm like, oh boy, this is but no, this is just sexy talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little awkward.
Yeah. By the way, I will say that mm-hmm. I'm no expert, but yeah. if it burns, I think you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, probably.
Did you talk to a doctor?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mike, get him on the phone.
I don't think it's supposed to burn.
No, not supposed to burn.
Hey. Okay. Anyway, so Loretta is going to sneak in while Mitch is in there and she sees what's going on. She steals the coin right at the moment when Tammy is about to enter the state of undress, and she basically comes to, what's going on here? What are you doing to me?
Yeah, so we don't know if Lep possessing Tammy. I mean, she's not weird enough for Lep to be possessing her. Yeah.
Lep is uninvolved, I think, in all
of
this.
Yeah, I think so.
And she comes to and she's like, oh my God, what's happening? What did you do to me? I don't remember. How did I get here? And basically, she, gets him in the groin, in a sensitive spot, and runs out of there. And he says to her, he literally says, that's it. You're finished in show business. You'll never work in this town again.
Yeah, I think he controls that, too.
Very on the nose for Mitch here. Okay. But Scott is going to come to in his room. He wakes up, and what does he have a hankering for? Potatoes. He's going to eat his room service potato. Forget the steak. Forget the broccoli. Forget the mustard. Mm-hmm. It's potato time.
I did ask my wife that I wanted mustard. I said, can you pass the karate time?
Mm-hmm.
She did not know what I was talking about.
Yeah. So Mitch, then, meanwhile, that Lep has now figured out that the coin was here, and so Lep is going to take control of Mitch's TV, and basically is going to be controlling some sort of in-room adult entertainment.
Yeah, it gets a little freaky here. Also,
he gets a little freaky, and so that there is a woman who is some sort of adult actress, and she's basically saying, hey, Mitch, do you see me? And now I would run right out of the room. But that's just me. Mitch is sort of
So if a woman tried to flirt with you through the television, then came out of the television.
I would be out of there fast.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's accurate.
So fast. And then, she's like, hey, Mitch, come here. And he's getting closer. And then she starts eventually crawling out of the TV. And at this point, I would be this is a horrible, this is The Ring. I mean, this is Poltergeist. This is one of my fears, Uncle Kiwi, that anything is coming out of the TV to get me. And this
wasn't even one of my fears. Now that you mentioned it, it just became one of my fears.
This is so terrifying. But Mitch doesn't even bother him. I guess that Mitch, that he's so worked up from before, he's not thinking. He's like, this is good. Oh, this is what is going on. Oh, where'd you come from? Oh, okay. This isn't that weird.
He's so thirsty that he's willing to woman came out of the TV. Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't think he's accurate when he says he could get whatever, any woman he wants.
No, I don't think so. Okay.
I think he's lying.
Maybe in his younger days. Who knows? In his prime. All right. So Scott, that one potato wasn't enough. He goes to the restaurant in the hotel and he orders all the potatoes that they have. He can't stop eating potatoes. Waitress comes to the table and he's not just eating potatoes, that he has a rhyme for the waitress.
There once was a lady of Tutting, whose taste grew perverted and rotten. She cared not for steaks or for pastries and cakes, but lived upon penis au gratin.
I will again say that's not Lep. Scott now suddenly, it knows all of Lep's stupid limericks.
Well, he is sort of Lep, right? He got bit by Lep. He's becoming Lep.
And then automatically you start spitting out the limericks.
Do you think it's the actor even saying that?
Yes, I think so.
Can he even pull off the Irish accent? So.
By the way, have you ever had potato au gratin?
What's potato au gratin?
It's like sliced potatoes with a bunch of cheese and
cream. I've had that.
Not a fan.
Looks better than it tastes.
Yes.
Are you a big potato guy in general?
I like a good potato, like a fry, baked potato.
What is your favorite? Is French fry your favorite potato? I know that's like a basic answer.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, the hard to pass up fries. Mm-hmm.
Like a loaded baked potato, you'd go for that though.
I mean, what's it loaded with?
I mean, whatever you want. You could put your magic coin and put your hand on it.
Let's not get out of control. Yeah.
What about like broccoli and cheese?
No, forget that. Get out of here with that.
You don't like broccoli.
I like broccoli, but I don't eat it in a potato.
All right. What do you want to stuff your potato with?
I don't really need a stuffed potato. It's fine. Okay. It's fine the way it is.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
What's a twice baked potato? I guess they just bake it twice.
You have like the baked potato and then you take everything out and then you like turn it into like mashed potato and then you put it back in the potato container.
Why did my sister ask last week if I know what a knife is? What did that mean?
What?
I was just thinking about cooking in the kitchen. My sister in her like comment in the musical, she's like, Kiva, do you even know what a knife is? I just thought of that now. Anyway,
I don't know.
That was a full week ago, so we shouldn't be talking about that.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah, so he's in the restaurant. At this point, he becomes very unlikable, and I start to wonder, like, is Scott going to get killed off? Because he's sort of like a D-bag now.
Yeah, because he's Lep. He's turning into Lep. And he runs into Tammy and basically tells her about what happened. And it's sort of like he snaps out of it. Tammy tells like this story and, you know, it's bad enough what happens to her. And she's like, and it's not the first time it happened. So this is, they really need to shut this whole place down.
Yeah, I agree. I think this place is the authorities in Vegas should come in. A lot of
sexual harassment going on here in the Lucky Irishman.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Shut it down. All right. So we go back to Mitch's room, and Mitch now is on the bed with naked lady from the TV. And now Lep, he's having a field day. He's taking control of all the channels, and Lep is like doing skits on the television.
Yeah, Lep's doing skits. He's doing shtick on the TV, and then eventually he like becomes the woman.
No, like, would you say that? No, he doesn't become the woman. So Lep is going to do like he's a lawyer. He does he's like a Miss Cleo type character, and he's like trying to warn the guy, but Mitch is not listening. And then ultimately he turns the naked lady into like a sex bot, like a sex robot that it's just like a Terminator frame, but with like boobs. And then Mitch is like, hey, what's going on here? And then that he just gets electrocuted.
So this is, a grisly death, electrocuted by the sex bot.
Lep doesn't want any part of Mitch. He doesn't want to turn into a lady on top of Mitch.
No, for sure not.
Yeah. All right. So Scott and Tammy, they come running up. They're going to confront Mitch. But guess what? He's dead. And Lep is there.
Ruh-roh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they end up hitting him with a statue and they get away. But then just at that same moment, the mob guys come in and now they're going to fight Lep. And this is really no contest for Lep.
Yeah, they were talking a big game in the casino scene about how they would rock Mitch. But yeah, he just beats them.
Not even a good kill.
Not good kills. Art is a terrible kill. And then Tony, he rips his eye out. But other than that, pretty basic murders for Lep.
The one guy that said that he wished that the Mets would get their act together did say to Lep, hey, tell me, what was Judy Garland really like? Which Lep does not like that kind of joke.
Doesn't like that. And he rips his eyes out. That's kill tolls 4 if you're counting at home.
Okay. All right. Scott is getting more leprechaun symptoms coming on. Loretta, she's got the coin now. And she is going to make a wish. And she is going to wish that she is basically like the hottest, sexiest thing at this casino.
Yeah, she wishes to become stacked.
Yes. Okay. Now, Akiva, this to me was tell me if I'm off here, okay? Because I'm not everybody. But I almost feel like that I don't know what they were going for here. I thought Loretta looked better before her wish.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Like, what? What is this?
She looks
wish?
Like a different person. She looks fine beforehand. They just cut her hair. Basically.
She has like the shortest like red haircut that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And She was fine before, and she's just like in a different outfit, and she has like super short hair, and now she's like, oh, I'm so hot. Look at me. This is what she's talking about, just like how sexy she is, and like Fazio seems to think so too. Here's what she says about herself.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh Shevitz.
Oh geez.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh Shevitz. But this is going to be short-lived for Loretta. This, I believe, is the most iconic scene of Leprechaun 3.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, had you ever seen this scene before?
No, you were familiar with the scene before it happened?
Because I had seen, I had come across this on YouTube from the previous Leprechaun film that we had watched.
Okay.
I believe this is probably the most iconic scene in Leprechaun 3. Because Leprechaun is going to want his coin back.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is going to track down Loretta. Meanwhile, Fazio gets the coin away from Loretta. He wishes to be the greatest magician in the world. Again, that's another one that was kind of a misfire. But he gets away with the coin. Loretta doesn't turn back to Loretta instantly. I don't really understand what happened there.
Yeah.
But, yes.
No, you too.
Anyway, so Lep is going to find Loretta and he is going to say, like, okay, well, look, you wanted to be sexy. I'm going to make some changes here. Going to make some alterations.
Yeah, the world's worst plastic surgeon, Mr. Lep.
Yeah. So Lep's going to say, okay, let me go to work here on your boobs. Let me and they start blowing up and she's like, oh my God. And then they says, well, maybe you need bigger lips. And then her lips start expanding. And then Lep says, his quote, delightful slut, but what about your butt?
Mm-hmm. You just to be clear, that's a quote. You're not saying that.
I'm quoting Lep.
Sure.
Yes. And Akiva, Lep said, okay, I'm going to take Loretta and now she's dummy thick, some would say.
Yeah, he did say it's like, oh, well, you have a small butt. We got to fix that. Where, you know, 25 years later, I think he would be doing her a favor, but he maybe does too much of
no,
a favor.
No, but she's getting, she's expanding. Yeah. You know, things are getting bad. Lep is going to get out an umbrella.
Yes.
He knows what's coming, and Loretta is going to explode.
Yes. Now, that was quite a load to have to explode. What a lovely lass. I had to blow up your ass, but now I must hit the road.
Yeah. Truly, can't believe he doesn't win a freaking Nobel Prize, this guy. Cause of death, breasts, buttocks, and lips inflated with magic, blown up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Scott and Tammy, they're going to head back to the pawn shop because they realize if they find the gold, then they can get rid of the leprechaun. No gold, no leprechaun.
Yeah, that's the slogan.
The only problem is here, Kiwi, that Scott is now, he gets to look at the gold and he's like, oh, I'm turning into lep now. I want the gold.
Yeah, he gets a little greedy here, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Lep is going to come in and find them, and they're going to start to have a little bit of a Lep versus Lep battle. They are going to try to make a wish against Lep. Can't make a wish against the leprechaun. Can't use the gold against him.
Yeah, which is a rule I think we knew beforehand, right? That you can't use your gold to do something bad to the leprechaun. You said Lep versus Lep. Do you think there should be, like, Leprechaun 7 should be Leprechaun versus Leprechaun?
No, I think there should be one Leprechaun.
There should never be more than one Leprechaun. Okay, fine. Yeah. As long as we've established
that. This was a misfire for me, the Leprechaun versus Leprechaun stuff.
Yeah, it's the worst part of an otherwise good movie, I agree.
Yeah. All right, but Tammy's going to get her hands on the amulet. Scott doesn't like it, but Tammy's going to put it in her pocket, as long as he doesn't see it. But we need to get Scott to the hospital. Scott is transforming into a leprechaun too much. He needs to get looked at by a doctor.
Yeah, and I don't know what doctors are going to do with someone who has green blood. They seem a little overwhelmed, but sure.
Yeah, so they admit him to the hospital, and they don't know what's going on. They're going to start running a bunch of tests. He's becoming more and more leprechaun-like, but the doctors who seemingly are heroes, much like they are heroes in our real life, these doctors seem a little greedy, where I'm not sure what kind of hospital this is, but it seems like that the doctors and nurses at this hospital seem to be profit participants in whatever medical. This might be like a mom and pop hospital where that they see that he has $100K in cash. So they start talking about how, like, oh, we're going to order up all the tests we can because we're going to really milk this guy dry.
Yeah, I will say a big plot line of the movie is universal health care, which is pretty shocking, but it comes up a bunch of times.
It does. I'm not sure exactly what was going on. I'm not sure if this was sort of like the Hillary Clinton try to get the healthcare going versus like early 90s. Yeah.
But universal healthcare and when will the Mets win a World Series? Like, still two major plot points 25 years later.
Okay. Because we're going to see Lep. He's going to get on a nurse's costume. He's going to be sneaking into the hospital. And so we've sort of established that the doctors and nurses are bad guys, which opens the door for Scott to wake up and then take out all the doctors and nurses using his own leprechaun magic. This was one of the weirder lines in the film, of very weird lines, that after Scott beats up all the doctors and nurses in the operating room, he says this.
Now that's what I call managed healthcare.
Yeah. It's a weird line, right?
What is managed healthcare?
I don't know. I feel like it's something we should know, but I didn't get the line.
Okay. Sure.
It was a 90s thing.
All right. So, we're going to then see, Tammy, and, she's going to get captured by Lep. Scott is going to, yada-yadding a little bit here, Scott is going to then get down there, and he is able to free Tammy from Lep. But after an amulet to the face, Lep is going to realize, okay, they don't have the other coin. I got to go back to the Lucky Irishman and get that other coin. Fazio has it.
Yeah. By the way, the name Fazio gets better every time you say it. I do love the name Fazio, just FYI.
It's a good name. All right. So Fazio, who's now the world's greatest magician, he's doing his show. And he's got a big number that he's going to do. That he's a big act that he wants to do. He somehow has found a new magician's assistant also, somehow, in like 2 hours since his former magician's assistant has quit. So then he's working on his show, but now Lep comes out on stage and the crowd is like, yes, yes. Oh, this is amazing. What a great part of the show. Lep is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you saw Lep come out, you'd be like, ooh, that's a cool trick. I agree.
Yeah. And so somehow, like, then we cut away from this where Lep's like, give me my coin back. And Fazio's like, no way. We cut away. And now somehow Lep has Fazio in the magician's box to be sawed in half. We don't really know how Lep did this.
Yeah, but listen, Lep's got his ways.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then now Fazio is in the box to be cut in half, and Lep's asking the audience, like, what do you think? Should I cut him in half? And the audience is like, yeah, do it!
The Daniel Bryan voice. They give him the yes, the WWE.
Yes, and Fazio's like, no! And then Lep, he's going to get out his chainsaw, and Fazio's like, no, you won't do it. There's all these witnesses.
Yeah, no, he dares. Yeah. The last thing you want to do is dare Leprechaun. Yeah. He'll do it.
Lep calls his bluff. Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, okay, fine. And he takes out the chainsaw, and there's just blood going everywhere. And then Lep reveals the poor Fazio, and basically Scott runs in and tells everybody, get out of here, this, you don't want to see this. And we get some Lep versus Lep fighting.
Yeah, Lep on Lep crime here.
There was a good moment where Leprechaun tries to appeal to Scott and says, Scott, come with me to the green side. I'll make you rich.
But we already know leprechauns hate leprechauns. So, like, this could not have been sincere, right? He would have just demolished them ultimately.
And Lep is trying to appeal to his greed, but that Scott is able to see through it. He takes out Fazio's blowtorch and just, you know, melts the pot of gold, which then bursts Lep into flames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, killing Lep.
Yeah. And then ultimately, then that when Lep bursts into flames, that turns Scott back to normal. I don't really understand why that happened.
I guess, yeah, that doesn't really add up, but I'll buy it. I didn't want Scott to be Lep one more second, so I'm fine with that.
So I thought, because that they, it's established in the film, you only get one wish per person. I thought that Tammy would get that last gold coin and she would wish for Scott to be back to normal.
Would have made, there was a lot of wishes they could have made there.
A lot of wishes they could have made. But then, so they didn't even have to waste the wish on making Scott back to normal. So Lep is dead. Scott and Tammy, who they've had an interesting evening, but as far as I know, I do not believe that they have even smooched in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the film paints it like, okay, they're ready to go like live off the rest of their lives together. I don't even think that they have held hands in the film.
They say it's the beginning of a beautiful friendship. So yes, I don't know if they're going to date.
So but I don't know. I think we're supposed to be left with that this is going to be this great romantic relationship that's been born. So they have a coin. They have one gold coin left, and they and Tammy still has her wish. What will they do with this one wish?
What do you think? We could have just about anything we want.
It's your call.
Okay, it's your call, Tammy. What do you want? Mm-hmm. Anything? What do you want to do? World peace? End hunger?
Nah. Good.
Well, let's end racism.
Mm-mm. We have each other.
Anything?
We're good.
No nuclear weapons?
Mm-mm. We like nukes.
Just no pandemics.
That would have been a good one.
Anything, Tammy. You name it. Mm-hmm. Your call, Tammy. What do you want to do here?
I don't know. I think I have everything I want.
You know something, sweetheart? This could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
That's it. End of the movie.
Well, here's the thing. To make the wish, you need to keep the coin. Who wants to keep the coin and have Leprechaun possibly come find you? So... to me, it maybe is a good call because you're getting you're getting out of Vegas. You're getting Lep out of your life for good. I don't think he follows you once you're like, I don't think he goes and gets revenge, at least not on screen.
And then they end with the Casablanca ending, Leprechaun 3.
I mean, a similar quality level of film. I would definitely agree.
Ladies, if you are if a guy says to you in the Humphrey Bogart voice, this is going to be the start of a beautiful friendship. Like, I think that isn't that check, please.
Yeah. So you think that's a deal breaker if someone says that?
I think so.
Okay, that's fair.
She doesn't even want to be the magician.
I mean, is she going to go?
What happens after this? What's the epilogue?
I mean, she's like an established magician's assistant. I don't know how old she is in real life because she doesn't have a wiki page or even IMDb.
I mean, they are people of interest in a number of murders.
Yes, he killed 7 people plus a mysterious leprechaun.
When the police discover, boy, hey, Tammy, every single person you know that you work with was brutally murdered, and like no, a leprechaun did it.
Yeah, that's the problem with the lep stuff. It's hard to pin it on.
Although I will say that a lot of the patrons did see the leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
At the,
yes, there were a lot of witnesses to the leprechaun.
I'm not
killing
sure what the security camera situation.
Fazio.
Was the Lucky
Irish. Oh, I don't know if he appears on the security cameras. Leprechaun.
Why do you think he wouldn't?
No, I guess he does. But
I think that's ever been established.
They are going to L.A. where Lep 2 happened, and maybe like they're familiar with the story. I don't know if that helps them or hurts them.
Yeah.
In terms of being suspect.
Yeah. What's the next Leprechaun film?
In space.
Oh, we're going to space. Okay.
We're going to space.
A time jump?
Oh, I mean, if you go to space, you're probably in the future, but I'm not sure. I don't want to spoil myself by Googling anything.
Okay.
I mean, you already had the butts and boob stuff spoiled this for this time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know anything about Leprechaun 4.
But
Leprechaun 4...
reinvigorated my love for the Leprechaun series, which yeah. two was not a great movie.
Two is like, I think we might be out on the Leprechaun, but now I
and now
very
I'm
much,
all the I'm way back forward. In.
Yeah. The next
Can't
one.
Can't believe we have to wait a year to watch Leprechaun 4 in
yeah,
Space.
Let me just give you the tease here. Leprechaun 4 in Please. Space is a 1997 American science fiction black comedy slasher film. A lot of modifiers on this.
Mm-hmm.
By Brian Trenchard Smith. Is that the same person that did Leprechaun 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fourth installment in the Leprechaun series. So, okay. All right. The muse of the Leprechaun is going to be back for Leprechaun 4. Let me also say that, look, we reported the details of what happened in this film, that we do not in mm-hmm. any way, shape, or form consent or condone anything Lep did or said,
right.
and we unequivocally disavow the Leprechaun.
Yeah, we are not pro-Leprechaun.
He's not
I was
our
fine
hero.
With him. You know, he killed the sexual harasser guy. I'm fine with that. But in general, we're not pro-Leprechaun. We're just reporting the facts as we
he
see
He mostly
them.
Kills bad people.
Mostly, yes. They do
but
mostly
no
have him kill bad people.
No excuse for murder.
No,
this
but
is
also
not
the
a
shop
war.
Owner the shop owner seemed like a pretty decent guy. So we definitely condemn
yeah.
that.
Some, I mean,
very
some people,
strongly.
Like, they have a lot of greed, but that's, you know, not a killable offense.
Mm-hmm. A couple of reviews for you. Steve Crum says, if Leprechaun 1 and 2 are clunky, why expect this one to be even as good? It isn't. That's wrong. He gave it 1 star out of 5. Tim Brayton says, the directness with which this went to video is apparent in nearly every single element. Wrong. Steffenberger Stephenson, who gave it 0.5 star out of 4, says, perhaps even worse than the first two, that you clearly did not watch them. That is incorrect. Emmanuel Levy, quote, not available, but he gave it 2 out of 5. And Scott Weinberg, who I believe is written about Survivor, if it's the same guy, right?
I'm not
no,
sure.
No, that's Scott Feinberg. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Incorrect, Akiva. One out of five.
Or Dan Feinberg.
Or Dan Feinberg. Yeah, but this is Scott Weinberg. Different guy. How to take a stupid idea and make it progressively more moronic. No, this is a good movie.
Yes.
They are
okay.
wrong.
All right. There you go. All right.
Kevin L., a super reviewer, says the only reason why I'm giving this movie 3.5 stars is because it's so damn entertaining.
What's it on Rotten Tomatoes?
With critics, a 0, but with the audience, 34.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
Best of the Leprechaun series to date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe
and
they
by the
could
way,
get Aniston back for Leprechaun 4 after this.
Well, they already didn't, but maybe Leprechaun 7 if things go really south. I really like Lee Armstrong, the actress who played... what was her name?
Tammy.
I already
Can we
X'd
get her for
out
a
of my
bag?
Notes. Well, here's the thing. So she leaves Hollywood,
or
leaves acting. This is her last... She's in this and a Zachary Ty Bryan movie. I believe he did something very bad today, Zachary Ty Bryan.
Okay.
But... So those are the only two films really she's in. But then some real hard Googling I did a couple hours ago. She becomes an intern on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
You remember an intern named Lee?
No, I do not.
Okay. So I was looking. I even tried to find, you know, there's a guy who like breaks down every Howard Stern day ever. So
yes,
I found the
yes.
day she was like even on, but I couldn't find anything about her. But
yeah.
I would love to know why she quit Hollywood after this film.
Okay. All right, maybe she's going to start podcasting.
Yeah, if we could find Lee Armstrong, I would be happy to talk to her. Because I think she's way too good in this movie to have quit, but what are you going to do?
All right. Uncle Kiwi, what mm-hmm. a great bonus episode of Renap.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I like having traditions,
like
you know?
Yeah. Tradition.
We do Royal Rumble.
Yep.
We do this. We do brackets in March. Do we have any other traditions?
I'm sure.
We can make new traditions also in our second 100
okay.
series of episodes.
All right. Well, Uncle Kiwi,
mm-hmm.
this was great. I know that the First Lady of Podcasting needs to go to work. We've been podcasting for closing in on 4 hours straight now. So let's stop down here. Hope everybody enjoyed this very special surprise holiday treat, not trick. And we will be back in 1 week's time for our To Tell the Truth with Corey B. And if people want to call in for our Halloween mailbag in Renap costumes. We will also do that in the next episode.
Yeah. What if they wear the Renap costume on Halloween, but they call in and like show us a picture? Is that okay?
Where they call
like they
in
can't
and show
get the costume twice, but they're like calling in and like, hey, here's what happened. I dressed up as the King Cake Baby or Kevin Costner or somebody. I'm not wearing it now, but I did, and here's evidence. Can they?
Well,
call
it's going to be before Halloween.
Oh, it's before Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
They can show us the costume.
Okay. When are we recording that?
We got to figure that out. We just finished the last podcast. We got a week and a half to figure this out. Okay.
Okay, fine.
All right. So when I talk to you again, I will be back from New York, and we will be ready to go on the next episode of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Akiva, anything else?
No. Have a good trip to New York, and I'm excited to get back on the wagon with you, or off the wagon.
Yes. Any limericks you want to close with?
There once was a podcaster named Rob. His room was messy, but he was not a slob.
Mm-hmm.
He asked for some Laffy. They sent him some taffy.
Yes.
It's crazy that this is a job. I don't know. You should have asked me to.
Wonderful. All right. So thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Here come Men in Black. Men in Black won't let you remember. All right, check it. Let me tell you this in closing. Although it might seem imposing, but trust me, if we ever show in your section, believe me, it's for your own protection. Because we see things that you need not see, and leave you places that you need not be. So go with your life, look at the Roswell crap, show love to the black suit, because that's the man in, that's the man in. Here come the man in black, here they come, galaxies of